Well, hey, welcome everybody to Crossroads. We are in an amazing series called Empires, and I have two special guests with me today who I want you to meet who have also made empires. You're watching the ones for adults. There's also content that we created to go to along with this series for kids and students. This is May.
Hey.
And Paco. Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, I work in Kids Club, and I get to make content for kids. So videos, songs, stuff for our YouTube channel. That's what I get to do. It's super fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Paco?
I do pretty much the same thing for 6th through 12th graders. So I get to make create experiences, teach them about Jesus.
Awesome. So you guys went to Rome.
Yeah.
You're part of the shoot. We've seen you in some of the videos. What did you film? Where can we get it? Like, what happened?
Yeah, you can find all of our stuff on the Crossroads Kids Club and Student Ministry YouTube pages. Mm-hmm. We've got it all posted up on there. And then Kids Club, you guys are doing something really cool on the main Facebook page as well, aren't you?
Yeah, every Sunday night, I think at 5:30, you can watch together as a family. And that's the goal of all of this, is that kids and parents are watching together. And then you can go to... there's some family conversation starters as a part of the Chaser.
Oh, cool.
That are made for families. So the idea is you're watching it together. Adults are seeing something that's made just for them. Kids are seeing something that's made just for them. On the same topic.
Do we have evidence to suggest that children and students like videos?
We do.
We do.
Yes. Okay. And if you're wondering, just take a look at what your kid's doing right now.
Gotcha.
A good chance that they're in front of a screen and or want to be in front of a screen sometime today.
So me as a parent, if I want to lay up win, to develop my kids spiritually, give them something that's actually good for them through their screen, this would be an amazing way to do it.
You could say, hey guys, I found this cool video. Do you want to watch together and then talk about what we see?
Fantastic. Okay, so this week...
Sorry.
Were you doing your secret handshake?
Yeah, we stopped though, because I saw you guys.
No, I appreciate that, because we're filming. It's great. Okay, week four, we're about to see Brian. I think the Colosseum, like the world famous Colosseum is in this episode, gets to go in there. What will kids and students see this week? What'd you guys do, where'd you go?
The same thing.
Oh, okay.
You see the Colosseum from outside. But this one was a home run because we talked about imagining being there, imagining maybe you were someone who was about to fight and what that would feel like. Or maybe you were imagining that you're someone who's in the stands who's watching this go down. And this was a gruesome thing. People were fighting to the death. And we don't necessarily have something like that in our culture now, but kids understand what it feels like to be on the receiving end of a bunch of people who are against you, and they understand what it feels like to be in the crowd and maybe choosing to go against someone. And so our big main point this week was that you have a choice. You can choose to stand up and fight for something. So that was the theme for Kids Club.
Okay, so what's coming up next week?
Oh, so next week, we got a chance to go inside of this place called Mamertine Prison. And it's said to be the prison where the Apostle Paul and Peter were locked up at some point. And so we actually got to go down into, like, the cell holding area and spend time in there telling young people, like, hey, what you sacrifice for matters. Like, the people that have come before you, we stand on their shoulders, especially with this movement of Jesus. And we stand on the shoulders of guys like Peter and Paul who were like, went all the way to prison for this thing. And so we get a chance now in our lives today to sacrifice so that the people that come after us will have it better off than we do now. In the cell, with our camera, like talking, it felt so real. Like, wow, this is actually the place where those sacrifices that we talk about, we want to make, happened. And walking out was super neat too, because I'm like, we just walked into a prison that guys who followed Jesus and preached Jesus got locked up in. We preached about Jesus, and then I like waved at the receptionist as we walked out.
Thank you.
Like, their sacrifice was worth it.
Wow.
You know, and so that was just like a really powerful thing for us. And we think it'll be really powerful for kids and students too.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, we're gonna continue on in our series Empires, and we're gonna start with worship.
Hey guys, welcome to Crossroads. It is good to see you guys. My name's Chris, and I'm here with some of my friends. This is Andy, Rhea, and Aaron, and we're gonna sing together. And wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, I just give you permission to engage. We're gonna do this thing. We're gonna sing to a God who loves you and me very, very much. And we're gonna sing about some things that are good news. So when we embrace those, It both elevates God and it changes who we are. So let's do this thing. Sing, I was buried. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind away? It was my tomb, yeah, till I met you. I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb, yeah, till I met you. Then you called my name. Then you called my name. Right here, it says, I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. But Jesus stepped in and he calls us his sons and his daughters. Let's sing this out. I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. But chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. Broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, yeah, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Leads me astray. always holds on, never separates. Your love never leaves, walks another way. It always pursues, it's the reason I sing. I sing. I sing 'cause you're good, yes. I sing of your kindness. I sing 'cause you're faithful, you never let go. Love with purpose, you gave him a name. You tore out your heart just to walk in my place. Now I'm a child of God. Now I'm a child of God with your blood in my vein. I sing 'cause you're good. I sing of your kindness. I sing 'cause you're faithful, you never let go. When I stumble, though I may fall, and even when I stumble, and though I may fall, and even when I'm broken and forced to a crawl, and even when I'm empty with nothing to show, I sing 'cause you're faithful, you never let go. And even when I doubt you, and though I can't see, and even when the future is a mystery, even when I find myself brought to my knees, I sing 'cause you're faithful, you're so good to me. Because you're faithful, you never let go. Yes. I'm gonna sing before I spoke a word. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me, yeah. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it changed. couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I was your foe, still your love fought for me. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all. You have been so, so kind to me. After me, snow wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Snow shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Snow wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow, yeah. No shadow. Pursues us in a way that is reckless. We thank you that you care for us in a way that we don't even understand, we don't fully grasp. So God, we pray that you would show us things about your character that then lead to things about us. Things that are not based on our performance or our status, things that are eternal, things that are joyful. Show us your love. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, it's really good to sing with you guys. I hope that you caused a little ruckus wherever you were at. So yeah, this has been fun, guys. So we do this thing right here on weekday mornings at 8:30 on the Crossroads Facebook page, and it's an interactive thing. We would love for you to be a part of that. You just log on, and we'll kind of hang out. We'll talk together. We'll pray together. We'll sing together. We start our day together. It's awesome. Thanks for singing with us. Let's continue the rest of our service.
Well, hey, thanks, Chris. That was fantastic. My name's Kyle, if I haven't introduced myself yet. By the way, pumped that you're with us. Hey, if we can help you in any way, we'd love a shot to do that. Crossroads, we're not a content provider. We're a church, which means we're a community, and our primary goal is to help people like you with whatever you need. I don't know if there's something happening in your life that you just would love some prayer for, or someone to connect with, or some practical, tangible help with. We'd love that. If there's a pressure in your life you'd love to talk to somebody about, we'd love to engage with you on that. Or maybe you're just looking for a good community of friends to belong to. We do that too. The best way for whatever you need to leverage our help is you go to crossroads.net, our website, and in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a little button that's a chat symbol. Just click that button, the chat window will pop up, and a very helpful, friendly person whose goal is to help you will start to talk to you. Highly encourage you to check that out. By the way, you might live near a Crossroads location and not know it. There's full of friendly people who'd also love to help you in whatever you need help. You go to crossroads.net, click the locations button, and find one near you. Hey, if you're a student, something very, very exciting for you. You know how life just kind of dumps pressures on you, and like, or maybe you have a job, part-time job, or you definitely have school, and you probably have siblings, and you probably have friends, you probably have parents, you probably have friends that kind of stink sometimes, you probably have parents that frustrate you sometimes, and school that's too hard, and all this stuff just kind of piles up and feels like it kind of crushes you sometimes. We want to help you deal with that. We want to help you deal with life's pressures that are ever increasing on you, and we want to help you connect to God and other people like you. So we've got something for you. It's called The Next Big Thing. You can go to crossroads.net/big and find out about it. It'll explain it far better than I can. The headline, though, is this. It is a live, interactive experience that you get to shape and be part of from your home or a friend's home or wherever you want to be. And there's prizes, like really cool prizes that you definitely want. So check it out, crossroads.net/big. Well, hey, if you're not yet, I want to invite you to be part of something called the team at Crossroads. The team is the people who just believe so much in the mission and movement of what God's doing here that we actually put our money where our mouth is, and we fund and fuel this movement each and every month. My wife and I are part of that team. It's just incredible. It's not exclusive. You can join it today. Just go to crossroads.net/give. You can set up a one-time gift, recurring gift, whatever you want to do. It would be fantastic. For some of us on the team, we've been part of this three-year journey called I'm In, this above and beyond thing where we felt like God 3 years ago was calling us to even more than we could fund through our regular giving. And so we just went to God as a community, as individuals, and said, God, would you have me give to this? What would you have me fund for this? And we made commitments for 3 years, and man, the finish line is in sight. In so many ways. It's exciting for me personally because we've been paying above and beyond for 3 years. I'm pumped to write that final check and to see, it's not actually a check. We don't do a check. It's an online payment. I'm excited for that final online payment to go through and to feel the incredible sense of joy of just crossing the finish line. And it's exciting because of all the incredible things that God has done. It's unbelievable, above and beyond what we even imagined 3 years ago. So I highly encourage you to go to crossroads.net/leaveyourmark. You can see where you are in your commitment. You might not actually know exactly where you are. You can also see where we are as a community making progress towards those things. And you can also get some information about stuff that's happened and be encouraged with what God's done through your generosity. Well, today we're going to continue in our series called Empires. And you may be wondering, like, why are we doing this series? Why is Brian in Rome? What does Rome have to do with me and my life in 21st century America? This makes no sense to me. Well, let me explain it to you for a second. There is an old ancient verse in the Bible by a man who supposedly is the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, who says there is nothing new under the sun. You may have heard that somewhere in your life that comes from the Bible. There's nothing new under the sun. And if you step back and you look at history, and you look at this empire of Rome that's 2,000 years old, there are some amazing and eerie similarities between Rome and what's happening in America today. 2,000 years ago, Rome was the seat of military power in the world. It was the bastion of democracy. It was the foremost example of personal liberties and freedoms. It was the economic center of the world. People were wearing Roman fashions all over the place. It was the religious center of the world. And yet it didn't stand. They had the same kind of dream that we had, and yet it didn't stand. You see some cracks that happened then that we're seeing now. Things like warring factions. This nation that once was united started to infight and started to pick at each other. And increasingly, rather than be one united nation, Rome became one divided nation. I don't know if you've ever seen a headline in the last week, 2 weeks, that make you think something similar is happening in America. And we're on the same path. And so what we're saying is that there are these empires in the world that have risen and have fallen for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and they will continue to rise and fall. America, not excluded from that. And what we're saying in this series is that each of us as individuals and as a community, we have a choice to make, which is which empire will we align with? Where will we throw our trust? Where will we go all in on? The empire of America or the empire of the kingdom of God? And just the punchline early, we believe if you want to go all in on the empire of America, expect it to crumble. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, hopefully not in our lifetime. God bless America. Hope it continues to go well for a very long time. And yet we know there's an end in sight. It won't last. There is one eternal empire with one king named Jesus. That's what we're diving into in this series. That question for each of us, which empire will we align with?
The Empire of Rome was a brutal, violent empire.
We are in a Colosseum, the first amphitheater in ancient Rome.
Rule one, this war is an extension of your arm. Grab it from Altum Adversum.
In the Empire of America, we're losing our way. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword.
Ow!
We've all been orphaned by this world. We've all been beat down by this world, and Jesus comes along and he adopts us.
Mm-hmm. No, it's been the wrong way.
All of us have the choice to be destroyers or to be healers.
Fight, can we not realize
we're out of control? We are crushing one another. Are you not entertained?
That we're losing something in our culture. We're losing the very heart of God.
Jesus' first followers lived in a world ruled by Rome. Military, economics, culture, the arts, no matter the arena, Rome was the dominant reality. And yet 2,000 years later, Rome has crumbled. It is gone. It is irrelevant. It is no more. While the empire of Jesus, known as the Kingdom of God, stands firm and marches forward. I'm Brian Toman. This is my friend and co-worker, Austin Livingood. We've come halfway around the world to explore and learn from the empire of ancient Rome, the empires around us today, and decide where we will place our trust. Will we place our trust in an ancient empire that is obviously gone? Will we place our trust in a modern empire known as the United States of America? Or will we place our trust in an eternal empire known as the Kingdom of God? This is Empires.
Matthew 26, 52. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword.
Welcome to Empires. I am here outside one of the most iconic buildings in all of human history, the Colosseum of Rome. Welcome as we talk about civilization. Every empire has a civilization. Every empire has a culture. And perhaps no structure defines the culture and civilization of the ancient empire of Rome more than this building right here. Completed in 80 AD, it took about 10 years to construct, and as people would come to check out all of the games that took place inside of this place, they would be met by a 100-foot statue of the Emperor Nero, bronze statue that was gold-plated. People understood, this is our power, this is our might. And the positives as they would enter into this is that everybody was welcome here. Rich, poor, male, female, whoever you were welcome to the games, the place where you could get away
from the mundane and the difficulty of life. Rome had what was called the bread and circus of their culture. They would feed people bread to meet their basic needs, and they would give them entertainment to distract them from the grind and the mundane of their life. 80,000 people could be inside. 80,000. That's the size of NFL stadiums. You could just imagine the bustling of what took place here in this beautiful, beautiful building. We look at it right now and it's white, but it's only white because so many of the expensive stones have been ripped off of it. And in fact, as radioactive testing has happened on these different stone structures, we now know that this was painted. A bright, beautifully painted, ornate building would welcome people as they walked into a way to escape a humdrum grind of their life. And what they experienced inside was like nothing you would have experienced anywhere else. When it opened up, it had a 100-day celebration period. And inside that 100-day period, 50,000 animals were executed. There are species of animals that existed in the Roman Empire that actually went extinct because of this civilization, this cultural context. There was a brutality about this place. There was a brutality about the Roman culture. And today, we're going to look at that on Empires. We're here in Rome at a center point of Rome, the Roman Colosseum, with a real Roman, a tour guide, an archaeologist, the inventor of the frozen pizza, Francesca. Man, this is beautiful. Where are we here?
We are in a Colosseum, or the Amphitheater Flavius, the first permanent amphitheater in ancient Rome.
We're up here. I mean, we have a bird's eye view of everything. I can picture myself down there being Springsteen early on. This is amazing. But I'm really curious what's down on the ground there, like kind
down
of underneath.
Down underground, yes, are the undergrounds of the building.
Yeah.
So the backstage, where the people and the staff prepare the show, sceneries were set up, or the gladiators warmed up before the show, is where the cages with the lions, the tigers,
and bears
were looking.
Oh my.
Yes. Ferocious animals.
It's an American thing.
The underground were provided with the elevators to move the animals during the show.
So that had to be pretty crazy down there with animals and smells and...
Yes, a very noisy dog. Smelly too, and crowded.
Now this is just a beautiful place to be because we're in a place that like no one ever gets to go. But in the original day, this would have been, you know, peanut heaven, what we call in the States, which is the cheap seats.
Yes. Right. Well, the poor people or slaves sat, while the upper classes or the ordinary citizen could be seated on the first, second, and third section.
Well, it was the lower class and the slaves, unfortunately, bore much of the brunt of the brutality of Rome, and that's what we're gonna take a look at today.
You know, I came to Rome, I came to the Colosseum. This is an amazing chance and opportunity to do some real, true gladiator training in this ancient land.
So today we're gonna do some gladiator training.
Feeling great, I'm feeling great. I got a beard, I follow The Rock on Instagram. I'm feeling awesome.
I got two things I'm handing out today. Whoopings and lollipops, and I'm fresh out of lollipops.
That's what I'm saying, confidence is key.
Hello, anybody ho?
Well,
welcome to the Gladiator School. Enter.
All right. Good to meet you.
Nice.
And your veins, yes.
Priest, Phoenix, follow me.
All right.
What have I gotten myself into?
Man.
Put this tunic off. This is your armor. And this is your belt. Put it on.
All right. We can do it.
He gets a chest piece. I get a weightlifting belt. What is that? What is this?
You know, martial arts guy. That's what we use.
Which my wife sees me with ripped abs.
I've been praying for this for years. Can I get mine a little bit tighter?
Ow!
Sorry. Guys, now you have to sweat. Strike. Skip. Squat. squat. And neck, I try to cut off your head like this. Touch the ground, spin around the arm. And survive. Three times, guys. Head, neck, faster. Good. Great roll for Gladiator. Roll one. The sword is an extension of your arm. Grab it strong.
Oh, I forgot my sword.
Keep going. Nice down. That's the way. Same vision, guys. Roll two. The sword can never touch the ground.
Oh, my.
Roll number three is don't kill each other, please. Okay, now try the hook, the spin, and cut.
Oh.
Easy.
Oh,
not good.
All
right. Yeah. Nice, though. <bro. laughs> Your turn.
Oh, wait. I thought I was going this time. Spin.
Oh, I'm spinning. Crap.
All right, your turn.
No, spin the wrong way. Ah, there it is. Yeah.
Good job, guys. You're very good students. You're ready for fight.
The Empire of Rome was a brutal, violent empire. It wasn't just the Colosseum, they also had the circus. The Colosseum had 80,000 people, the circus could have 180,000 people. And they would just slay animals, slay people. Christians were tormented and killed in front of people. In fact, it said that if the killing was going too slow, the Roman citizens would say, kill the people, we're supposed to be killing people. Bad news for an empire when it starts chewing up its citizens. And this beautiful structure, the Colosseum, was a center point of destruction, and it's a center point of world history. And I gotta tell you, it's pretty freaking awesome to be here right now. A rare treat to be on the floor. Are you not entertained? Oh man, I always wanted to do that. Mind if I do that again? Are you not entertained? Yes, we are entertained as a culture with our violence. Violence is everywhere in our culture. We are chewing people up. We're chewing people up emotionally on social media, shaming people. We're chewing people up, bullying people in our school grounds. We're chewing people up and brutalizing people in our sporting events, MMA, NFL, riots. We execute people left and right in our prisons. And you know what? Any one of these things may be okay. I'm not trying to pick a fight at any of these. I know we got some MMA fans, awesome crowd. I'm a football fan. I'm not trying to pick a fight in any of these. I'm just saying, can we not realize we're out of control? We are crushing one another. We're not healing one another. We're not giving one another life. We're hurting one another. One of the marks of an empire that's gone dark, and a mark of an empire that's gonna go away, that's going to be killed, is when we glorify killing each other. This is why Jesus says, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. And we are dying, we are crushing one another, and this is not the way that God would have us be. This is not the values of the eternal empire of the kingdom of God, because our King, his name is Jesus, and he loves, and he heals, and restores. And we better be pretty darn cognizant that we're losing something in our culture. We're losing the very heart of God. The trajectory of a culture tells us where a culture is going to end up. If our trajectory is violence, it's going to end up in elimination. When you use a compass, there's magnetic north. It tells us where north is, but it's actually reading the general magnetic area of the poles. It's not necessarily telling us true north. The difference between magnetic north and true north may only be a 16th of an inch between here and the end of a football field or less, but as time goes on, we really lose our way. I believe in the Empire of America, we're losing our way, but at the same time, there's hope because change is possible. No matter where you are right now, change can happen. God is never done doing something in you or inside the culture in which you reside. We have problems in our life and God can change us in our life. If we have problems in our culture, God can change us in our culture. And ultimately, his ways will have his way. In this area,
you would have believers who would know that they were being persecuted, that they were being the object of violence. And if you told them way back when, 2,000 years ago, that this area would be gone and it would be ruins, I'm not sure they would have understood that. I'm pretty sure they would never believe that the symbol of their healing, the cross, would be stationed in different places inside of here, because our emperor, the emperor of love, his name is Jesus, is having his way in people's lives all across the globe right now. There was a crest that was on the Roman legion's coat of arms and all over the place in the Roman Empire, SPQR, Senate and the People of Rome. You know where you find that right now? Is on the manhole covers. This symbol that was high and lifted up, showing we are the conquerors, we are the best, people now walk on it as their sewage passes underneath it. The book of Romans, chapter 8, it says this: "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, and now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees?" You and I may not be able to see the exact thing we're hoping for, but one thing we all feel is the groaning inside of us. Creation is groaning right now with pollution and things that are happening in our environment. Our own families are groaning with ways that we have dysfunctions, and our bodies may be groaning with new ailments that we have. I just feel like I have a new ailment every single day. But Jesus is not in the business of pushing us down and fostering the continuance of our ailments. He fosters healing. He fosters peace, because his is a culture of healing. You may be groaning right now, but there is a king. There is an emperor of love whose realm is the kingdom of God, and he wants you to invite it. He wants to invite you into it. He wants to bring you the healing of the eternal empire, the kingdom of God.
No more playing around. Finally, my chance to smack him in the mouth. I'm gonna hit him so hard, his unborn kids are gonna hurt.
My name is Maximus Brianus Tomius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the legions of Felix, loyal servant to the true Emperor Marcus Aurelius, father of a murdered son, husband of a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Hey, I'm Austin. It's gonna be a good night. Tip your bartender. Thanks for coming out, everybody. All right, let's do this thing.
Fight, yeah. fight.
Benvenuti, ragazzi. Adesso è il momento dell'ultimo combattimento. All'angolo rosso abbiamo Maximus. All'angolo giallo abbiamo Scorpius. Come, guys. Face to face. Cross the sword.
Doesn't know that it's coming, but I'm gonna juke a couple times and knock him flat on his hipster rear end.
Are you not entertained?
No, I'm not!
Feeling very sad for Austin that he had a hard time hanging with somebody who's 30 years his senior, it was now time to sit back and reflect on how we're actually shaped by our culture.
Oh.
Dude.
Man.
That was a,
That was brutal.
I got a major education on
the world of gladiators today. My goodness. Mm. How much have we both seen movies where people are wielding swords around? It's like, oh, wow, that'd be fun.
Effortless.
I mean, it was stressful going as you, and you're not trying to hurt me, and we've got dull instruments.
Right.
Well, I was stressed. Were you stressed on that?
It wasn't stressful, but it was more like, I'll just let it get a hit in, because I'm tired.
I just kept thinking there's no margin for error. Just the brutality of those games and the brutality of you're in or you're out, and the people loved that.
Yeah.
People just dug that, and they just wanted to see people die. Yeah. I have a friend of mine who's really, really into film, and he said, you know, when I go to a Tarantino movie and I walk out of it, I always feel worse about the world. But when I go to a Spielberg movie and I walk out of it, I always feel better about the world.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Spielberg and Tarantino, totally different.
Different styles.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, Tarantino is absolutely an empire of destruction.
Right.
Spielberg is, I think, his movies are more on the eternal empire, the kingdom of God line.
And, right.
And it makes a difference with our heart. Do you see places for you where violence and brutality, even just emotional lashing out of people, feed something in you?
Video games growing up was a huge thing. Grand Theft Auto was a huge game. Like, but it, you know, when you're in high school, even middle school playing this game, I mean, it's just like you're getting away with something, you know. I definitely allowed that into my life for a long time.
Emotionally speaking, our culture is destroying us. Like right now, I'm really tired. You think that's probably the way most of us feel in America. America just wears us down, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
The expectations of the things that you should have, the vacations you should be taking, all that stuff, the credit cards you should be using to max things out, the upgrades you should be having, this crushes us.
Yeah.
Utterly crushes us.
Yeah.
And that's how America keeps rolling.
Yeah.
America keeps rolling by us spending and spending more. It's another way for us, for our culture, that's just wringing us out and just leaving us worn out emotionally and spiritually.
Financially speaking, one of the first weekend I'd ever played music as part of a Crossroads site, it was the Compassion Weekend.
Where we raised money for Compassion International.
We raised money for Compassion International, yeah. I'm pretty sure there were like 6,000 kids, right, the first time?
6,100 or something like that.
Crazy. And for me, I really resonated with that because I'm adopted, you know, grew up in a great family, but never knew my mom and dad.
I did not know that you were adopted. That's something else we have in common.
There's still a question when you're younger of kind of like, why wasn't I wanted?
There is always that curiosity.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity recently to, in the last year and a half, to get to know both my biological parents. Mm. And it's fun.
Yeah. You recognize anything? Like,
not a thing.
No.
Not physical characteristics, not emotional characteristics, not spiritual characteristics.
Yeah.
Nothing. Mm. Kind of shocking. Mm. But good folks. Really, very, very, very thankful for them giving me a shot.
Yeah.
So what's that to do with Compassion?
So with Compassion, you know, I kind of recognized, essentially, we're adopting these kids. We are taking them in.
We're providing healing for them.
Yeah, we're providing
everything. That's the opposite
everything.
Of the destructive cult. We're providing healing.
Right. Everything that I have received as a kid growing up, I'm not going to be there physically, but I was like, man, I sure as hell can be there financially a little bit. I sure as hell can do that.
This is huge. This is one of the things I love about the eternal empire, the kingdom of God. Mm. These statistics aren't out there, but if I'm positive, I'm utterly positive, if you could quantify all the kids that have been adopted or helped by believers financially, and all the kids have been adopted and helped by anyone else, I promise you, the lion's share of the resources coming from people who are in the eternal empire, because we have a heart for that.
Yeah.
Because we've all been spiritually adopted.
Yeah.
We've all been orphaned by this world. We've all been beat down by this world, and Jesus comes along and he adopts us. Mm-hmm. And so we naturally, even if we don't understand that theologically, we have a natural bent to help the oppressed and the orphan and those who are adopted. No question, the lion's share of relief work to those who are hurting their children is coming from believers. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it. And it's a pretty beautiful thing to behold, because that's what our empire does. Mm. Our empire provides healing and building up instead of just tearing down.
Yeah.
It's good. Good to be in that empire with you.
Same. Mm.
There's a line in this song that says, tell the reaper,
You know, you can tell death that I have nothing that belongs to him. I have one hope, one purpose, one love. His name is Jesus.
Out of bed tonight, I was born into your arms. You are my country, like the hills where I found love at the end of the world. And tell the reaper, man, I got nothing that belongs to him. Who pushes rubble in the city of sin? But I found love at the end of the world. Tell the reaper, man, oh, I got nothing that belongs to him. Who pushes rubble in the city of sin? But I love at the end of the world.
I'm just outside the Forum in what's known as Mamertine Prison. It's in this place, so legend says, that the apostles Peter and Paul were held just before their execution. In other words, at the end of them being constructors and builders, they were destroyed, eliminated. You and I have a choice to whether to be part of the culture that destroys or the culture that heals. The culture that tears down or the culture that makes better and builds up. Apostle Paul wrote to one of his disciples, Timothy, and it's recorded in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Paul says this, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith." He says, I've done what I needed to do. I've built what I needed to build. I've stayed in my lane, and you are a part of that legacy. All of us have the choice to be destroyers or to be healers. And the Apostle Paul went to people who were broken, were torn down, and he and Peter and the other early followers of the eternal empire of the kingdom of God was about giving people freedom. You could say they were patrons of the arts. The art of restoring and healing lost souls. They funded it with their own blood, sweat, and finances. Whenever I see all of these ruins, I think about how the natural course is for our life to be ruined, our life to be torn down. Jesus said that his temple would be torn down, his body would be torn down, and then he also said, but it will be rebuilt, it will be healed. What that was talking about was his resurrection. A core tenet of the belief in Jesus is understand that he is God. He came and took on physical realities, a physical presence in the culture in which he resided. And at the end of his life, he was healed. He was resurrected. The literal, physical, and historical resurrection of the body of Christ. It's why Christianity was spreading all over the empire, because people saw him brought back from death. People saw the power, the healing power. He was healed, and his power was healing person after person after person after person. This is the power of the resurrection. It says that what you're doing right now physically is important. The physical is important. That's why we come to physical things. We like physical, and the physical is important to us. And what you do physically is creating culture. If you're a plumber, when you sweat a fitting and it doesn't leak, you are creating a good and stable culture. When you walk into work as a school teacher, you are creating culture. When you stroke a check as a philanthropist, you are creating culture. When you go and you mend a wound as a doctor, you are creating culture. And all of these jobs and many, many more are signs of bringing healing.
I like building things. I like physical things. I recently got done building a table out of reclaimed barn wood, and I felt, honestly, I felt like as I was making sure that all the boards lined up and the finish was right, I felt like what I was doing was as important to God as when I craft a message. I felt that because I was recreating, I was basically healing wood, putting it back into use, and making something that was beautiful to the eye and useful for culture. When we as a church partner with Compassion International and raise millions of dollars and help thousands of kids have a meal every day, an education every day, we're creating culture, we're healing them, and we're healing the world that is groaning. When we go and we build an AIDS hospice in South Africa, we're creating culture, we're healing people who have massive distresses in their lives. When we give such to create a digital infrastructure that enables these teachings to happen with people all over the country, facilitates the building of apps on mobile devices and all kinds that we're actually building, we're constructing, and we're leading to the healing of people. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you do in your day job. I don't know where your affections are. But you gotta understand, you need to stay in your lane. There's a race that God would have you run. There's a job that God would have you do. There's a person that God would have you heal. And the work of your hands, the inclination of your heart is important to the future health of the eternal empire of the kingdom of God. Let me pray for you right now because your role is important. God, I know we've got different people with different abilities and different backgrounds. I know all of them are to fit together to create a beautiful thing inside of your kingdom. Give us the encouragement to go about our day today and on into the future. Give us the wisdom to do it wisely. And give us the strength to do it beautifully. I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen.
It's a big topic, isn't it? Culture and the challenge to bring hope and healing to the world around you. It may seem insurmountable, it may seem big, but I want you to know if you believe in Jesus, this is the call and the mission of your life. I want to take a moment to sink in what we just heard from Brian. Don't make this something that stays in your head. Make this something that influences your actions this week. And if you're somebody who follows Jesus, I want to challenge you to do something right now. I want to cement this moment tactilely for you. I'm going to ask you in just a second to either stand up wherever you are, or if that would be weird or dangerous because you're driving a car right now listening to this, don't stand up. Just raise a hand a little bit. That's totally fine too. But do something physical that signifies I'm in on delivering the kingdom, the culture, the eternal empire of Jesus in the world around me. If that's not where you are, if you're like, I don't know about this eternal empire, about this Jesus guy yet, that's totally cool. This isn't for you. But if you are, if you're somebody who says, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be about your empire. I want you to stand up or again, raise your hand right now. Maybe you are somebody who's a stay-at-home parent. Maybe you spend your 9-to-5 as a business leader. Maybe you're somebody who works in the trades. You're a craftsman, you're a plumber. Maybe you're a student going to school. Maybe you're a teacher teaching those students. Maybe you're somebody who's in the medical profession, helping people with physical ailments. Or maybe you're somebody who's in the counseling profession and you're helping people deal with mental and emotional issues. Maybe you're somebody who works in retail and you're just folding shirts and you're stocking shelves and you're doing the cash register. Maybe you're somebody who works as a waitress and you're waiting tables and you're bussing tables or you're washing dishes. Whatever you are, wherever you are this week, whatever culture you find yourself in, I want to commission you in the name of Jesus to bring the eternal empire of Jesus to bear wherever you are. The world would have you believe that your job is your job, the culture of your workplace is the culture of your workplace, the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut, no one wants to hear from you, just don't ruffle any feathers. And I want you to know that you are commissioned by God in the name of Jesus to bring healing and hope to the people around you. You have coworkers, you have customers who need Jesus. This week, just do something really simple. I commission you to say, every time you see somebody, say, God, what's going on with this person? How can I love them the way that you love me? How can I bring your culture of healing and hope to this person right now? Do that this week in the name of Jesus. Well, hey, don't let it stop here. You might have heard something today that you want to process with other people. Man, please do that. Best way to do that you can go to crossroads.net/thechaser. You can do the Chaser in community with people. You can find community to do it. Chaser is just some questions to help you apply what you just heard here today, to cement it in your mind, to make sure that it's not just head thought, but it's action that changes your life and the lives of people around you. Thanks for being with us this week. We'll see you next week for the last episode of Empires.